Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in and, as always, watching, listening, and sharing the podcast. We are getting out there. Praise God, and thanks to you. Special treat today. I've got my friends Mark and Amber Archer with Fearless Features in studio. There's the website. I forgot to give that to you. Fearlessfeatures.org. Guys, welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
So what are you in town for?
Well, we're making a movie.
Principalities. Yeah. We've talked about that before. But we do have newer viewers and listeners, so that maybe didn't catch previous podcasts, to know what you've been working on and what you are working on. Do you want to give us a quick rundown?
Go ahead.
Well, we just started a new documentary film about spiritual warfare. We've gone through the issue of life, the issue of transgenderism, the pornographic books in schools, just the lawfare, everything that is really attacking our families and our kids. And so that's what we do through our nonprofit Fearless Features, is make documentary films about the issues about culture.
Awesome. And I can I spill the beans about Mr. Newman?
Oh, sure.
So Alex Newman, a friend of this podcast, he's going to be in Principalities. They interviewed him last night. Before we get into the topic today, though, I want to mention Mark's book. I have it in hand. Personal Delivery. Now, he can't bring it to all of you, but you can order this. You said it is on Amazon.
It is on Amazon.
Compromised, A Prodigal Journey's Prodigal's Journey Home. You want to just give us... See, there's the effect I was talking about.
See, isn't that cool? That's so cool.
Would you give a just brief synopsis of the book?
Compromised is basically my autobiography. So people... In following our journey together doing Fearless Features and doing these films, people have asked many times, well, how did you get to doing this? And so to understand our story together doing Fearless Features, you have to understand our individual stories. And so I started with mine and kind of where I started and how I was a train wreck for a long period of my adult life. And
how much of the book is that?
Most of it. Most of it is train wreck. Yeah. It's somebody who read an early copy said it feels like one big apology letter to the Lord is what it is. And, and that's really what it boils down to. It's me trying to save other men from the mistakes I made by talking about the journey that I was on. And it's just, it's an odd journey because it's in Hollywood doing films.
I'll bet you it was somewhat therapeutic writing, getting it all down, getting
some
it
of it
out.
Was, yeah. Some of it was painful to relive.
Really? Yeah. Really, even though, you know, God's forgiven you, given you grace and accepted you and you're loved, and it's still hard, huh? To go back and and
yeah, there were some things that I was talking to a friend of mine last night from high school, and he's in the book, and he had read it, and so he called me and he was kind of giving me his feedback, and I said, you know, there's actually some things that I wrote in the original draft that I took out because it was I thought, wow, this is really painful stuff. You really should just, it's time to just let this go. So from a therapeutic standpoint, I wrote it down and went, okay, I'm done with that. Just delete.
Well, good stuff. So, friends, you can get this on Amazon, Compromised. Fearlessfeatures.org, and you're going to be coming up. You're in town to work on Principalities, but you'll be coming back to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yes, we will.
May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, the Worldview Matters Conference. We're calling it a biblical summit. But, friends, we're going to get that website. It's very close to being up and running. We'll get the registration connected so you can register for the conference, and I'll give you more details as the weeks go on and the months progress here. So another thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I think we did a little bit on one of the podcasts, maybe the last time we spoke since Charlie Kirk's assassination, that is something America, and especially even I think the church, is never going to be the same since then, and from reasons that I don't think a lot of people realize, and that is how the left and how some are justifying his murder, his assassination. Some are justifying violence because of the words we speak. I think we've got to continue to warn other believers, especially people that are maybe have a podcast, maybe are writers, maybe are out in the public eye. We're up against a really different kind of spiritual warfare. Let me talk, before we jump into this great article by Richard Harris over at Town Hall, you've had death threats. Mm-hmm. And this was BK, before Kirk, before Charlie Kirk's assassination, because of what you do.
Yeah.
So have you seen the resistance and the actual pushback increasing through the years? I'm guessing the answer is yes, but you want to touch on that real quick?
Well, I think yes and no. There have been, it really depends on where you're at.
What do you mean?
Well, it's isolated, it seems like, in some places.
You mean geographically?
Yes.
Where?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, it depends if you're going on a college campus, which the college campus is where we really started to see the death threats. If you're going to a church, you don't necessarily see those that much. There are people who come to try to disrupt and disturb, but it's never anything where it's violent harm, you know, being threatened against yourself or others. But it has been the college campuses was really the leading point for
those. Wait a minute. Don't they pride themselves on being tolerant?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in Christian college campuses,
yeah.
Too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. We got nasty. There was one Christian college we were going to show Dysphoria, and we got a death threat in the email on the way up there.
Mm-hmm. And like an hour before the show.
Yeah.
And so we had to contact the authorities. We're like, hey, this is what's going on. And they were very gracious. I mean, everybody at the college campus police knew what was happening. They brought in the local police just to make sure that everybody was going to be safe. But, I mean, I'm thankful that people take it seriously enough, because you just never know who's out there.
How did you follow up on that, or did you? Did you track down where that threat came from, or who
we
sent
did not.
It?
We did not. We just, it came through the website email, and so really there was nothing. Nobody pursued it or wanted to pursue it any further, but just wanted to make sure that there was coverage.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do. I sent it to police. Mm-hmm. A detective friend of ours, and he looked at it, and he said, well, you know, it's a veiled threat. There's not much you can do, but, you know,
we'll log it
and make note of it. So.
Yeah.
And you can't really tell where
in the
country it came from.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the thing. You can't live in fear, right?
Yeah.
So you have to realize that there's people that they feel empowered because they don't have to face you. No one yet has
keyboard courage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Keyboard commandos. We haven't had anybody who's actually come and gotten in our faces, you know, Charlie Kirk style. So, but they do feel empowered when they can sit in mom's basement.
So, the last time we had you on, we talked about your trip to Colorado.
Oh yeah,
and Amber going down to the lobby and interviewing a witch or a Satanist.
Both.
And you guys being canceled by a church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That now, if you missed that episode, guys, go to worldviewmatters.tv, type in Mark and Amber Archer. If you just type in Mark and Amber, it should come up. And you shared details on that story. I guess for some of our viewers and listeners, they don't understand how Christians would not be open to what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a little bit of, you know, just your what you've learned and what you're seeing in the body of Christ?
Well, first,
could do a whole series.
You really could, and I think just remember that even the apostles were rejected for the truth that they continually spoke everywhere they went, and so I think of the stoning of Stephen and Paul at Philippi or Ephesus, I can't remember which one right now, but you know, they spoke truth and were continually just beaten down for those things, literally. And so there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah. And so when we see the resistance today, and we look at it and go,
but
wow.
Within the church, though.
Within the church.
That was a little different. They're preaching a whole new way to be saved, a whole new Messiah,
yeah.
A whole new,
that's true.
New Jesus. They weren't preaching to the Jews were offended because, wait a minute, that means we got it wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is in the body of Christ. This is just truth about biology and God's creation that you're talking about.
The interesting thing that I would add to that is that it's when we can get in front of, so we were part of a church that where this was perfect example of this, where you mm-hmm. see that it's not so much the church body, it's the leadership mm-hmm. yep. that's the gatekeepers. Yep. And so from that standpoint, I look at it as a guy who's worked in Hollywood his whole life, and I go, you're no different. You're no different from the Hollywood gatekeepers hmm. who just flat out tell you that they hate you and what you stand for, versus the glad-handing, you know, church leaders who will tell you with a Jesus smile that they love you, but they're not going to let you in. And they'll lie to your face the same way. So what's really behind it is it's the inevitable results of the prosperity gospel and the seeker sensitive movement, where a lot of churches, not all, but a lot of these churches, they're run by corporate brand managers, and so they see it as their
CEOs,
as their duty before the Lord to protect the wealth of the church, and so anything that might cause any
offend
kind of ripple,
someone, right?
Then they're not going to let it in, and they just ignore you.
It's not surprising. It is prophetic. I mean, mm-hmm. if you read 2 Timothy 3 and other places mm-hmm. in Scripture, sad that even people in the church would go astray or not want to yeah. support what you guys are doing. But so it's not surprising. It is disappointing, though. Mm-hmm. And it's must for you guys when you're traveling and you're on the road. You've traveled halfway across the country, and then a church says, no, I'm sorry, we changed our mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. You've got more patience than I think I would have. At least I think so. I wasn't there with you. I didn't see your reaction in the moment.
It was calm.
But we're independent filmmakers, and as such, we're entrepreneurs, and we reacted very quickly. And within about an hour and a half, we had another location lined mm-hmm. up.
Praise God. Yeah. Okay. So now the topic, there's an article, friends, I want to let you know about it. This is what we're going to go mm-hmm. through right now, because I think this is so well written. We just had Richard Harris on the podcast a couple weeks ago. It's called "The Deadly Lie That Words Are Violence Threatens to Destroy America's Republic." I said that very slow because I absolutely agree with the premise and this title. So, Richard, let's just start off with the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression did a survey, and you guys have seen the article. 90% of college students in America believe that words are violence. So this means America is in serious trouble. That means their reaction is going to be different if you believe it's not just someone's actions. It's what they say. And for us and for the Charlie Kirks and for others, it's what we believe, the biblical worldview about the truth of God. Mm-hmm. That is now, well, hate speech, we've known mm-hmm. that for years. But it's this says 90% of college students believe words are violence. And this worldview is incompatible with America's ideals and how we were founded. Amber, could you speak to that first and then Mark?
Yeah, well, when we read the article, the first thing I thought is Mark and I, just through the research that we've done, especially as we're making these documentaries, and especially when we were working on dysphoria and the transgenderism and all the confusion that's happening, and we've stated many times, we are going to see the most violent generation America has ever encountered. And you really start to see it, because a lot of what we, you know, researched and learned doing the mind polluters was how the teachers are educated and how are, and so it continues to trickle down, and every generation seems to be getting worse and worse. And now we're just telling kids flat out lies, and they have no idea physical reality is not even reality to them anymore. And so it's very alarming, especially reading that. But I do tend to agree.
For the devil,
mm-hmm.
that's good marketing.
Mm-hmm.
When you can get someone to believe that, well, I'm a girl mm-hmm. or I'm a woman. You know, mm-hmm. Well, my goodness, that they really can believe that. Mark?
I think there's one of the things that I've held on to is I think it's a Tom McDonald song.
And not Michael McDonald.
No, Tom McDonald. He's a rapper. He's got a bunch of tattoos on his face. He's he's a little odd, but but some of the stuff that he does is really good. And he says in one of his songs, there's a difference between hate speech and speech that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I like that.
And this is because of the what this generation has been taught through the education system. Social emotional learning in particular has taught them that feeling is everything.
Yeah.
Facts are inconsequential. And so if everything is dictated by feeling and you say something that makes me uncomfortable, then of course it's violent.
Gosh.
And he does a great job in that article of laying that out. It's exactly right on.
Richard Harris writes, it is an historically grounded assessment of where our nation is headed. If we do not wake up and restore the education system in this country. So this is a very broad issue when it comes to government, corporations, the corporate world, social media, our culture. But he says that's the root of the problem, education. You've talked a lot about that.
Yep.
I mean, you just talked to Mr. Newman about that.
Well, the focus of all of our films is education. I mean, when we started with The Sanctity of Life and, you know, ended up interviewing the abortionist and then he dies and they find over 2,000 fetal remains at his home and car. I mean, that was, and we get done with that and we say, now how is this happening? What is going on? And then that's when really the Lord led us to focusing on education. And that really has been what the last, you know, three films have been about, is all about the education system and who's educating who.
So let me read this quote now, Mark. I'll ask you to respond to this. This is from the article. The lie that words are violence is a convenient idea for the loser of an argument. Leftist ideology cannot withstand open debate. Mm-hmm. It always collapses under the weight of historical reality, moral truth, and the eternal principles enshrined in America's founding documents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's spot on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, I have watched this. I mean, you've worked in Hollywood, right? And you've seen, we saw this decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always just the weirdness of LA and Hollywood and the entertainment show business crowd. But it has become so absurd that it was part of humor. It was part of comedy, right? Now, and even then, I didn't realize until it started showing up in mainstream doctrine and in the churches, looking back, that it was all part of the conditioning that was happening, right? We were taught from the 80s, you look back, the hair bands, they were masculine, but they all dressed like women, right? And then in the 90s, you started to see the heavy metal groups embracing, you know, Marilyn Manson, guys like that would kind of run with this androgynous look. And it was being pushed. And then everything was, you know, one man's ceiling is another man's floor. All these pop phrases that came in through entertainment culture. Yeah. So it's the natural outcropping of what's been going on for generations now.
It's very interesting. To continue to go through and just read a couple points here, the numbers from this survey say nearly 40%, 39, but let's just say nearly 40% of young adults said political violence can be acceptable in certain circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And another poll found that nearly a quarter of young voters said America was better off after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Now, you guys aren't surprised by this. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by this. It's a little disheartening knowing the history of America. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a chapter in one of the books, my recent book, called What Would Our Great-Grandparents Think?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a question I put out there to our viewers a lot. We're just talking about now people justifying violence and saying, yeah, we're better off, and saying the most vile things and not being ashamed to say it. And I think, well, what would our great grandparents think? And then I ask, what changed?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the church?
What changed and where is the church? Go ahead.
No, that's the first thing I thought as soon as I read that. And I thought, where is the church? How can that many young people really believe that that is acceptable? I mean, it's a foundational
programming.
It is. You know, it's foundational to society. And you look at it and you think, wow, you know, where is the outreach to this youth? What has happened?
Mm-hmm. When you said that, where's mm-hmm. the church? John R. W. Stott, I believe this, if I remember this quote right, he said, "We should not ask, what's wrong with this world? Because that diagnosis has already been given. Mm-hmm. We should ask, what has happened to the salt and light?"
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I wrote a book, The Cost of Our Silence, yeah. about mm-hmm. in 2015. Mm-hmm. Where is the church on these issues? Why has some of this evil progressed in our culture? And people are now proud about it, mm-hmm. proud to do evil. It really is amazing. Evil is called good. Good is mm-hmm. called evil, Isaiah 5:20. But because the church has not preached on sin or talked about there are any moral guidelines, mm-hmm. it's just, okay, let's just... Mm-hmm. You mentioned the seeker-sensitive church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, let's not talk about that to make them mm-hmm. feel uncomfortable or offend them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then you think, well, what about, I mean, the gospel? Mm-hmm. What about repentance?
You know, there's a story that I told in Compromised, and again, I am not laying the blame for my actions on another man, but I, as a young man just coming out of high school, and I was one of those kids that was hard to reach for the youth pastor. He tried to have a ministry to me, but I just didn't fit in because I wasn't, it was kind of a seeker sensitive youth group, right? So I was not an athlete, I was not a musician, and so I didn't fit in, and so I was always kind of on the outskirts of that. And then he was caught having an affair in the church, in the TV studio. And that was all it took to push me over the edge. And I went, see?
Hypocrites.
They're a bunch of hypocrites. Now, for those that are listening, guess what? Yes, they're a bunch of hypocrites. There's room for more. So come on in, right? So the church yeah. needs the hypocrites to come in and stop being hypocrites. That's yeah. that's the point of the gospel.
We can't yeah. believe.
So... I don't know where I was going with that, but it was...
Well, we've down to 5 minutes already, believe it or not. But I'll just read a little bit more from the article. It's just so well written. Thank you, Richard Harris. He said, "The disciples gathered publicly. They reasoned in synagogues, proclaimed the truth boldly, and suffered imprisonment, beatings, and death, not for harm they caused, but because authoritarian powers feared the strength of their speech." Mm-hmm. And I'll take it another step. They feared the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they feared the truth about Jesus Christ. And so knowing that America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and values, and knowing where we are now when it comes to the threats against free speech, it really kind of is a head scratcher. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it had to have been a gradual decline, right, of our freedoms.
I know where I was going with that, and
to
riff off what you were just saying there. When you say what has happened to the church, in the case of what I saw as a young man was, I saw how the church handled it, that I didn't perceive that there was, that it had really been handled. It was, yes, he was removed, but it was kind of brushed under the rug and, you know, let's just move on. And I'm telling you, what we're seeing with our films is people of all generations, but especially the younger generations, they are dying for truth and consequences. They want to know that if you say something's wrong, that if it's violated, that there's going to be real consequence to it. There's this interesting schism happening where some of them say, no, there shouldn't be, right? Because words are violence. So I should be able to say what I want, but you can't say what you want. So there's the hypocrisy yep. there. But people are dying for anything genuine because we naturally perceive when people are lying to us. Mm. So what's happened to the church is it's just gotten very... managed. Yeah. They don't want to address these yeah. things, right?
And that's what's so sad. So many churches and pastors, some of them you quite frankly have to put pastor in air quotes,
yeah.
They won't address the most pressing issues of morality that their congregants need mm-hmm. to hear about. They need mm-hmm. to be informed about. Even if they're not dealing with them, they need to be able to know how to respond to what's going on mm-hmm. outside of church walls. One more quote here, just kind of like a conclusion to this article, and there's more that we couldn't get to for the sake of time, but it says, "Thus, Scripture affirms what the founders later enshrined, that freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, and freedom of assembly are essential for the life of a moral, self-governing society. And so I think we need to wrap it up. But frankly, he also calls out the Democrat Party, teachers' unions, universities, media, and the woke notions that words are violence. These are lies, and people will, the wackos will react to the lies. That's, you know, someone that, like the murderer of Charlie Kirk.
Well, too many people are being told what to think and not how to think. And they don't even know what the truth is.
And that's gone on for a half century almost.
Yeah.
Well, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hmm. And so if the when the church lost its reverence for the Lord and the gospel, then it stopped being able to teach people how to fear the Lord. So we don't have any wisdom. We just we have a bunch of knowledge in the form of social media and Wikipedia. You know, you can find out anything in an instant, but if you have no way of perceiving what to do with it, because you don't have the Lord, you don't have wisdom. You don't have discernment.
Yeah. That's the word of the year, I think. We've been talking about that on every other podcast I've done so far, discernment. Yeah. So, guys, you're in Wisconsin. Where are you headed after this?
Texas.
So you're going home first.
You got to go home first.
Back to Indiana.
Yeah.
And then you're heading down to Texas. Yep. And then how many more places do you have to go before you wrap up interviews?
That should be the last of the interviews. And then we go into editorial. There's some other stuff we have to film, but we're not – we haven't scheduled any of that yet because we've got to see. We know we have some fabulous interviews yet to get.
So will principalities be available in May?
We hope so. That's the plan.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, we hope so too. Yeah. Any closing thoughts? We've got about a minute, you guys.
Closing thoughts.
No.
Just we love you and your show.
March on Saints.
We love everybody here. You've
March
been so
Saints.
Accommodating
March
to us.
On
thank
Saints.
You.
Yes.
This has been great.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much. It's so good to have you in studio.
Yes. Yeah. It's awesome.
Great to meet you, too. Mm-hmm. And to be continued. Friends, again, fearlessfeatures.org. You can support their ministry, too, obviously, by giving. But you can check out Mark's book, Compromised. Make sure you can get that on their store or at Amazon. Amazon.com. It's up there now. I encourage you to support what they do. It's probably not fun all the time because it is the subject matter you guys deal with. Because I write about some of it too, you know, so I understand, but it's important to get out to the body of Christ. Thank you guys so much. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.